Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
1, 2, 3, Jimmy Steve!
Freaking about time. It's about time.
Oh my God.
We got it in this episode, and in case you can't tell, we're talking about Jimmy Steve because he made his appearance finally after like an entire season pretty much. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, such a good episode. Hey guys, what's going on?
We're so excited.
We're so excited. So we're probably going to be a little all over the place today. But welcome back to our after show for Shameless. My name is Joyce. I'll be your host for tonight. If you're watching us, it probably means you're subscribed. But if you're not subscribed and you just showed up on this video, please click that subscribe button so every single week you can come back and see our Shameless after shows. And we talk all things Shameless on and off the show. Speaking of off the show, you guys can catch us on Twitter, on our social media. You guys can catch me on Jay Ajuri at Twitter. That's J-A-J-O-U-R-I. And I'm joined by my wonderful hosts, JJ. What's going on?
Hey guys, how are you? And you can follow me at JJ Jurgens.
Cool.
And Haley. Hi everyone. I'm Haley Clover. You can follow me on Twitter at Haley Clover.
Yeah. So be sure to, you know, chat us up on Twitter and everything. We always like to respond and talk to you guys on YouTube and on Twitter.
Yeah. And yeah. And you commenters, whoever was making fun of my cold sore last week, I know where you live, and I'm going to go a little Debs on your ass.
We need to address, exactly. Let's address this right here, right
it's
now.
It's awesome, yeah. I'm a Gallagher. I have herpes. What can I say? I had a cold sore.
That's it.
That lipstick would not cover it up, so I just had to do it. The show must go on.
The show must go on. If you guys needed proof that we read your comments, this is the proof. So
that was so funny.
That was really funny. But anyway, it's good that we have this medium to like talk about that stuff.
Yes.
Let's get started on this episode, Rite of Passage, Season 5, Episode 5. Holy crap. We can get to Jimmy Steve later. We already mentioned him at the top of the show. But let's start off with Debs right now. Mm-hmm. We get her, you know, still learning the ropes of boxing, and she's kind of a regular at the gym now, right?
Mm-hmm. Love her. Love seeing her be like so, you know, strong and being the strong girl who wants to kick ass. She's and it's just so fun to see. Yeah, she just, it's really fun to watch.
Well, and she's going to start working there now so that she can continue to go to the gym without having to pay for a membership, which is great. It's going to be fun to see.
I mean, she's not getting paid, but she's getting paid in lessons, which is great.
Exactly.
So she's going to learn to defend herself. And then we see her do that later when she runs into Ellie and Holly. Ellie had her baby, and I think it's so funny that she has her at school. She's at school with the kid.
Right.
But they're at school, right? When they're sitting on the stairs, her and Carl.
They're at the pool, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe was they were the at school then, and then later they were at
the pool. Oh, that's right. Because it's summer vacation. They wouldn't be at school.
Yeah, I think they were sitting on the pool.
Never mind.
And it was really funny because Carl said, well, Debbie said to Carl, you hooked up with those girls, or, you know, and he was like, yeah, it was fine once he got past the C.
The C-section scar.
I lost it. Oh, my God. He's so crazy. So funny.
He's but there's getting- some-
Good.
I'm just saying he's getting his experience in. I don't know. He's by the time he's like 15, he'll have a really nice track record of the types of women he's been with.
Yes, for sure.
But it's so funny. It's so funny seeing these two like team up though, because it's like we see him not do well at the drug dealing, you know, and they're calling him Biebs and all this stuff.
That is,
you know,
which so I think funny. Is great.
So then it's fun to see him come over here with Debs, and they're like, okay, like how are we going to run the game on these guys? You know, so to basically make money off of her, then. Kicking their asses. Yeah. It's just hilarious.
It's so funny because they all bet against her too. And then she comes up and kicks the shit out of those girls.
Good for
Debs. So funny.
And this is a good way for them to have brother-sister bonding time.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, maybe go on their own business, you know, get him out of the drug scene.
I'm proud of her. Like, I'm proud of the growth that Debs has had this season so far. I think she's gotten a lot stronger and she's coming into her own in a new way. But I'm wondering though, like Fiona mentioned her before, you know, I thought you were going to be bigger than all of this. Like, do you think Debs is, you know, learning to fight for the right reasons? I mean, I know she lives in Southside Chicago. It's not the most safe place. You kind of have to know how to hold your own.
Yeah.
But do you think she really needs to act that way?
I don't think she does. I think it's going to grow to where I think she needed to do that to those girls. I don't think she's going to start doing that, like, on the street. I mean, who knows? It's shameless. She could. She very could.
Well, she does.
But I think she'll train, like, maybe more as a fighter, you know, and maybe get paid in the ring, but not...
Well, she does talk about wanting to find steroids.
Oh, yes,
so we do see her asking about how much they cost, and we have a funny joke about how she'll get an enlarged clitoris from Ian, you know, really funny stuff. But
she's like, I don't care.
I actually think that it made her feel so good that she is going to start, you know, fighting more, or just, you know, now thinking it's not that big of a deal if something happens and she just like punches someone in the face.
So fighting more anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she had Fiona as an example a couple episodes back, you know, how they were at the bar watching Gus play or watching the band play on stage, and she got into a random fight with some stranger. Like, that kind of stuff is the norm for Debs, and she's just now actually acting on all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah, you're both right. It very well could go that way. I like to see, because I thought at the very end when we see her talking to Sammy, she to me looked the most like beautiful she ever had. Like, she was in her workout gear. She's strong, feminine, but then she, you know, had her makeup on. But what it wasn't. But we talked about before when she went through the makeup scene how it was like too much. And it was too. And this was like toned back, but just I thought it was a good balance that showed her, like, you know, still trying to now be more girly, but then also. You know, being strong and being a fighter. So I'm kind of hoping that she just like gets into this training and wants to kind of like competitively box and then has a little fling with this guy at the gym.
Well,
I like
him.
I was
going to say, I think for why she started all of this and working at the gym was because of him.
Yeah,
at first,
totally.
You know, I don't think it was actually self defense,
but thanks to him, like, she's gonna find herself in all these aspects. I mean, she might tone down the fighting. She's toning down the makeup already, and maybe things will go really well with the guy at the gym. Maybe, you know, once she calms down with her urges to fight, hopefully she won't get on steroids. But I think she's finally.
That would look so.
That
weird,
would be so strange.
Yeah,
I hope that doesn't happen, but. She's definitely going to have that balance, like you said, and just kind of come into herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to grow into herself very well. Yeah. So I think this is Deb's season.
Me too.
Despite the whole Maddie thing, the whole rape thing.
Yeah, she's over it.
Which I'm surprised they haven't really addressed the past couple of episodes. It's just kind of been a joke. It's just kind of been brushed off. But we haven't really heard Maddie's side of that, really.
Mm-hmm.
So other than, you know, their encounter in the park.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. We'll probably see more of that later.
Yeah.
But we mentioned Debs and Carl, you know, sitting together, and like he bet on his sister and everything. But we also see Carl still dealing the drugs. He's still dressing up incorrectly, despite his studying.
Yeah,
and he still
and his cheat sheet on his arm.
Exactly. What did they call it? Oh my gosh, I forgot what he called it. The guy that he's working for. Anyway.
I can't remember what he called it either. It's like his little Tom Brady, though, like right there, you know?
Exactly.
Had to throw that little Patriots shout out
in there. Right?
Yeah.
That's all right. You're allowed. They won. Sorry.
Super Bowl. but poor Carl. He just can't get it right. He doesn't get the numbers. Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's a little disappointed too, because he's like, I finally tried, I studied, and then he does it wrong, and he's like, well, shit, like, I really did try, so. Well,
math is not his strong suit.
And I think it hurt when the guy just said he was dumb, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and he still owes him $100.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to get really dangerous later on. I mean, I don't think Carl's going to continue doing this for a long time. I think he's just going to want to stop, but he won't understand that he can't just get out of this.
Yeah, I think that's a good, good prediction.
Do you guys think he's going to take, I don't know, how much longer are we going to see him try to get this right before he just quits?
I don't know. He either becomes really, really good at it now that he like got it wrong and he's mad at himself, or he, like you said, totally just quits and then finds himself with some enemies.
Because he seems to be going from...
It could go either way.
He seems to be going from one way of making money to the other pretty quickly.
Right.
So he might just think this is one of those things. Yeah. We don't really see too much of Carl this episode. Just a couple of those scenes where he's dealing drugs and getting dressed up all preppy and everything. But he's getting better. His leg is getting much better. But that's pretty much it with Carl. We have also another one of the siblings. Lip is still in the episode. Still... here in town. He had kind of a crazy show today. I don't know.
Makes
He's struggling. He's struggling. We know that him and Mickey are kind of like, Mickey's kind of like egging him on, like, you're not Southside. You're not as Southside as me. Or basically he's Mickey's bitter at Lip for contributing to the gentrification of Southside Chicago, because we know that they're trying to like uproot all the mom-and-pop businesses or the old homes and stuff and make it look nicer and build things like Starbucks and whatnot. So Mickey's like, look what you're turning into, like, you're not Southside. And Lip is like, watch me.
Well, I think this all stems from Mickey's anger when he finds out that Ian goes home with someone from the club that night. So he walks into the bar and he's just pissed off and starts a fight for no reason with Lip, and that's when they get into the whole, you know, peer pressure thing. And Lip's like, you know, he goes, and you can tell he doesn't want to, because like we were talking about when we were watching, he doesn't actually shoot the gun when he, you know, when they're there. You can tell he doesn't want to do it, but doesn't want to look like a total, you know, loser.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you guys think, because they don't show us, do you think he went back and got the gun after he was out of the dumpster? Ooh. Or did he leave the gun and now his prints are going to be on there?
He left the gun.
I think he left the gun too.
They were yelling, get the gun! Just go get the gun!
I feel like if he were to get the gun, they would have shown that. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like Lip to be, you know, that, like, he's too smart to leave the gun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I think he just wanted to get out of there.
Right.
He just wanted to leave that whole scene. But I was thinking about his fingerprints, too. I was like, what are you doing? Get the gun.
I know.
But I was scared for him because I kept thinking he's going to get arrested. This is going to be a bad season for Lip. He can't go back to school.
Well, I do like that he decided to leave summer break early and go back to school so that he could kind of get himself back on track, maybe into a schedule. And I think he's actually excited about going back to school.
Yeah.
Starting classes again.
I think so, too. And I think this was kind of the sign for him, too, that he doesn't belong there anymore. You know, that he doesn't want to be a part of that. And he's kind of like, okay,
He's changed a little bit.
Yeah. Definitely. That whole moment was a wake-up call for him. And then when he goes to say goodbye to Fiona, there's that scene where he kind of just looks at the house, you know, after she walked away. It's like, what is this place? Like, I don't want to be here anymore. This is not where I feel comfortable anymore. Like, the people, you know, just the whole city in general brings them down. You know,
just all the craziness too, all the time.
So much craziness. And also we know that Mickey goes over to Lip and asks him about the psychiatric assessment doctor. I think that's the term. I could have it wrong. But Mickey's another interesting storyline today. Him and Ian, you know, are getting further and further apart as the season goes on, which is really sad.
It is.
But we talked about last week how Ian, or how Mickey kind of feels like he's in over his head with this whole Ian situation, trying to take care of him and trying to learn more about his bipolar disorder and trying to see how he could help him, but it's not working. And then today we kind of see Ian go into one of his manic highs even more than before. It's pretty sad.
And it finally gets to that point for Mickey then, when he's like, you know, it's like that scene when he tells him that he's sick and he's to pack his stuff. It's just like, I mean, they're so fun to watch those two together. But it was really tough to watch him have to go along this journey with Ian to get to the point, you know, when he finally has to admit that he has a problem that he can't help him with and that he's got to get out of there and deal with it. But, you know, and just that basically, you know, that Ian comes home and has done a porno and doesn't see anything being wrong with that.
Didn't use a condom and I mean, Mickey
and only gets $600 for it. Yeah. I mean, come on, don't sell yourself short, man.
Really, though.
$600.
Yeah. I mean, quick cash is quick cash, but that's nothing for porno. I mean, at least
that a girl.
I would know, okay? No, just kidding. I'm assuming.
What comments do you have for us this week on YouTube? Please write your comments
Write your comments below. Comment on what I just said. Well, it's not Chatsworth, I'll tell you that. It's Southside Chicago. I don't know. Maybe the industry is like, you know.
I don't know. That guy
is a little different.
That guy looked like he had quite a bit of money. I think, I mean, he could have forked out a lot more than $600 for a porn.
Yeah.
$1,500. That's the going rate. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, for a couple of hours, that's pretty good. $1,500. Easy money.
And moving on.
Moving on. Before I say anything else. But yeah, I mean, Mickey didn't know Ian was cheating, you know, at the beginning of the season. And today he finally realizes, like, oh shit, like this is happening. Mm-hmm. And he gets all pissed. And I love how when he was beating up one of Ian's coworkers, he was saying Ian's name. He's like, I fucking came back for you, Ian. Like, you should fucking cheat on me, Ian.
I didn't
like,
even notice that.
Yeah. We can hear that part really well in there.
Yeah, I think he was sort of talking to Ian and taking it out on that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got from it. It's like, he's not gonna touch Ian that way anymore. Like, they don't beat each other up like they used to. Yeah. So he's got to take it out on some other guy. And, you know, and then he takes it out on Ian a little bit after he, you know, hits him against the wall and is like, go see a doctor. Mm-hmm. But I love how when he did that, Mickey's hand was on Ian's heart. Like, did you notice it was on his left side? I don't know if maybe I'm reading too much into it. See, it sounds kind of corny. But it's like these two are so perfect for each other. And to see, like, it just showed how heartbroken Mickey was to hear about all that stuff. But yeah, made me really sad.
It's sad how it all ended up playing out too with Ian taking, you know, pretending he's in the shower, taking Mickey's baby and leaving, running off.
What's his kid's name? Yevgeny.
Some, don't even know.
Really, a Russian name that I don't know how to pronounce properly. Right. So I think it's Yevgeny. That kid has gone and kidnapped. That was really scary.
And I said, what is with Gallagher's taking babies?
I don't know.
Because we didn't see that part coming. We were like, well, we thought going to run, or we thought do some harm to himself in the bathroom. Right. But then we didn't see the taking the baby coming.
I thought he was going to hurt himself in the bathroom too. And I'm like, how did he go from the bathroom to the front of the house? And then to see him take the baby, I was like, I knew he was taking care of the kid with Svetlana a little bit, but I didn't see him as that attached for that kid to be the first thing that he would run off with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, and who knows? Maybe he's doing it so that Mickey has to look for him. You know, he doesn't totally want to be alone or want to be away, but it's just
a cry for help. Yeah. A major cry for help without him even realizing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Poor Mickey. He's got a lot to deal with.
He does.
He does.
And he will have an angry...
Oh yeah,
wife.
Yes,
mother comes back.
Child.
Which we might see a little more of her crazy. She's been pretty normal for the last couple of weeks. So we might see that craziness come back out. Not a woman I would mess with.
Nope, not at all. She knows how to handle her stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ian and Mickey, there was a really great lengthy interview article on BuzzFeed between Noel Fisher, between Cameron Monaghan, and one of the writers, Eitan, of the show. They talked about how Mickey and Ian are written and how the two actors, sometimes they don't even go by what's on the script. Sometimes they don't even say what's on the script because you know how they have really meaningful looks on screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes they just put those in there and that's what makes them such a good couple on screen. And, you know, they were voted best gay couple on TV. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons is because they have so much room to play and so much room to sort of make the script their own and make the scenes their own. So it's a really cool article. So if you have a chance to read it, it might take a while, but it's a good read. They're great.
Awesome. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'll have to read that. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I like them. They're awesome. Also, who's awesome is Kev for forgiving V. He forgave her for what she did.
Yeah. That Kev's the best.
I love
that. Yeah, of course. Coming. Yeah. You know, it was...
I thought they would have to do, like... I mean, he still has to do something to keep that going, but I thought it would take a little longer for him to forgive her.
I had a feeling he would probably be... You know, he's Kev. He's just the best. Yeah. I had a feeling he might let her off the hook. Yeah. He loves her so much.
He does. And that's why he let a woman give him a hand job. Because well, he asked him. Yeah.
She, like, forces she him forced to him. Saying, you know, this is what needs to be done so that we can get over it and you can get back at me. Then we'll be even.
Yeah.
Watching him at the park was hilarious.
He's so out of practice.
My favorite part of the entire show today. He is such a creepy pedophile when he's talking to this woman at the park watching her son play. And he's like, he says stuff like, well, I mean, I've bathed with my daughters, but that's not weird, right? Because they're only 8
months
old. But
my wife thinks it's weird because they see me naked.
But they're not going to remember what my dick looks like when they're...
And then she pepper sprays him. Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
It's awesome.
I didn't think she was going to pepper spray him for saying that, but I laughed.
Yeah. Not like a Jerry Sandusky. Yeah. Kind of just like, he kept going. He's so funny.
I laughed so hard watching it by myself when he got pepper sprayed. He's like, what the hell? I just want to get a hand job. Yeah. For my wife.
Right.
I loved it. It was such a great scene.
But then so even the girl he ends up getting one from is funny. They put the whole patriotic spin on the
and
hand job.
Was he humming the Star-Spangled Banner? Oh my
God. He absolutely was, yes.
Poor Kev. Well, V thought this would sort of fix things and make it even because she felt so guilty. Mm-hmm. And when Kev came home after getting the handy J from the girl, it didn't make her feel better.
Yeah, of course she cries.
Poor Kev. And I have to say, like, I know girls do the whole, like, I'm going to test him out thing. She did test him. I mean, he wanted to make things right because he forgave her. It's not a problem. Like, he was ready to move on. And then he comes home and he's like, I knew it. I knew it wasn't going to be okay. And poor V starts crying. And just, it's not better for her.
Sure, he could have said no. But she was pretty adamant on the fact that she wanted him to get a hand job from some random girl as long as she didn't know who he was. So I'm putting the blame on V.
I am too.
I think any other girl than V, you would definitely call BS on that. That she would do something like that. Right. V is one that I would think no, that she would not let him back into the house until he made things equal. Even if she had to be there and watch it be done. I would feel like she would, what she says.
He had sex with her mom for...
I was going to say it should have been even... due to that fact, you know, I mean, she made him do that too.
Right. So it's exactly. Like, she makes him do stuff, but now she's mad.
And now she's mad. This is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, it just shows how much she's struggling, you know, how hard this is for her and how she really is just, you know, missing her old life and the old relationship that they had together and feeling sexual and, you know, the fun that they had and not really finding her place or the happiness that she thought she would.
Well,
it's sad
to see when they're arguing at the end, you know, their two daughters start to cry, and Kev immediately, you know, father instincts kick in. He's gonna go and comfort the kids, and she's like, if you leave and go upstairs, like, I'm leaving. And he's saying, if I go and, you know, help our crying children, you're gonna leave.
Yeah.
Walks right upstairs, which is exactly what he should have done. I thought that was
I agree.
Rude of her to even ask.
It's like, I mean, I know she didn't really... She didn't really think that this was the life she was going to have. She didn't want the kids as much as Kevin did. But, like, this is the card that you've been dealt now at this point. And you're growing further apart from your husband. To me, I kind of want V to work with Kevin on this and to do this with him so that they're at least still together, you know, taking care of the kids and struggling together.
Right.
Instead of her just pushing him further away. I mean, I wish I could say that I don't think she's going to leave, but I think she's left.
I kind of think so, too.
I think she walked out.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Oh, it's awful. But she needs to just grow up a little bit. Yeah. She's got kids.
I know.
But yeah, and I mean, to put him in the situation where he's out getting a hand job and she's with, you know, a kid, a baby in a bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know. It's sad. I don't know where she could possibly go. But I think if she leaves, and this gets in prediction territory, but that's going to leave Kevin in charge of making money and taking care of the kids, which is probably not going to go over well for him, and he's not going to forgive V for that. So, I just think it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny how in true Kevin V fashion, that's how they sort of solve their problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how she makes him solve their problems. But also in... also in true fashion of for Frank and
oh boy,
his storyline today,
Frank,
like that. It's so Frank to do that.
Oh yeah,
to do what he did. I mean, he
this was even better. This episode was even better, you know, for me than the money losing the money episode.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
I agree too.
Love this weird storyline where he has David's liver and the dad who is so
the
creepy.
Poor dad, the poor guy.
He's so creepy, but like thinks that it's actually David because his liver is in Frank and lets him stay at the house and asks him to call him dad at one point.
Wants to play catch, tucks him in.
It's strange. I mean, he's so funny. David is not. David's the son. Wade is not handling the death of his child well at all. I mean, he feels so guilty for not being there, for not protecting his kid. So this is just his way of coping, which is not a healthy way, at least to me. I don't think, I mean,
it's not a normal way.
He's definitely changed since his kid passed away. And clearly we know that because his wife, Laura, is saying like, not only did I lose my kid that day, but I also lost my husband. So we know that Wade was not like this before. So he's gotten creepier, right. For sure.
I think, again, it's like such great writing though, because it's like, they have all these situations that normally you would be like, okay, now they're doing what, you know, but it's like the writing is just done so well. So, you know, to see him then get to save, you know, Frank's life by getting stabbed. You know, by Sammy, and feel so proud because he wasn't there for his own son before during the home invasion, and it's just
he's like, I did it.
It's like he's looking for every form of redemption for himself, whether it's playing catch with Frank or having Frank stay at the house or stabbing or, you know, saving Frank from getting stabbed by Sammy. I mean, that's his way of making himself feel better.
It was funny watching, though, because, like, when we watched together and you called out, she's like, oh, she's going to bone him. And I was like, well, that'd be like boning her son. And I'm like, oh, well, she doesn't think the same
well,
as...
Well, there you go.
Sure enough,
I was like, oh, they did it. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, the best... Yeah, when he was like, I did it. I saved our son. And she's like, that's not our son. And he's like, yes, it is. And then she's like, well, then I fucked our son. Yeah. It's just like
he's like what?
Awesome.
She goes,
it was great.
Nice. Yeah, it was a great scene. Mm-hmm. And then, well, speaking of Sammy, she runs after Frank because the whole episode, Frank was telling her, "I got you a new trailer. I was gonna surprise you." And Sammy's all getting ready to put that trailer in Fiona's backyard. But when Sammy finds out that there's no money, there's no trailer, that's when she goes and, you know, gets to Frank and tries to beat him up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's going to be such a terror.
Well, we as the audience know she's never getting a trailer.
No, I mean, of course not.
She doesn't know that, which is why it's so funny.
It made me think of Sheila, though. Like, if Sheila ever comes back, she has the RV. So I wonder, you know, I don't know where Sheila's going to go.
I did read, I was reading up on Twitter, looking at a bunch of different Twitter accounts, and somebody tweeted that she will not be in the rest of this season.
Oh,
so hopefully they're wrong, because I love Sheila, but I read that she won't be in the rest of this season.
Okay.
But, you know.
She'll do a Jimmy Steve on us. She'll come back. Maybe she'll come back at the last episode.
Jimmy Steve. I say, she's still bringing Karen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was your prediction.
I think so, too.
I hope you get it right.
Well, maybe they'll post up.
Right,
maybe they'll post up and live in her RV, and Sammy's going to fight her for it.
Right, exactly.
It's going to be so sad.
RV wars.
Well, also in the episode, Sammy is being told off by Deb, saying, like, you know, you'll get used to it. The first time you get wronged by Frank is the hardest, but don't worry, you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think she's going to get used to it.
It's a Gallagher rite of passage.
Oh, those Gallaghers. Gallagher's always doing crazy funny stuff. But speaking of which, we have Fiona today, who, you know, we saw her sort of question her marriage to Gus for the first time. I mean, she's under the illusion, not illusion, I think she really is happy with him. But she's afraid that she made a huge mistake, and she tells him this. And I didn't even think of this, but even he was like, don't you think I'm thinking the same thing? Like, I'm freaking... You know, scared shitless too.
We both had a sigh in that moment. We were like, we just love him, you know. It's
he had
like
the best reaction. Yeah. He was like, you know what, and if this was the biggest mistake we ever made, let's have the most fun
and
we can have.
Fucking fun mistake. Exactly. Which I think it is why I like him with her. Like, I think just that response like that is just so to balance her, you know, craziness and these feelings that she feels that make her want to run or do the crazy stuff, that the chaos that she, you know, enjoys. It's just, I like he was there to ground her, gives, you know, ends up giving her a big hug and just like
no drama.
And make it easy, no drama, just day by day.
I think he understands her too. I mean, why else would he say something like that to ease her? Like, he knows how to calm her down. I mean, he's feeling the same way. He's not afraid to say it. He's not afraid to be like, hey, we probably did make a big mistake.
Then they tried to trick us with the needle with him at the beginning. Where he, where he's diabetic. He's diabetic.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. At first, I was like, oh, no. It can't be. But that scene was cool because obviously they don't know each other well at all. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even know his middle name, which she made up and said it was Wendell, which is so funny. But they're still learning a lot about each other. And she clearly doesn't know about music. She didn't know what he was talking about when he said eagle. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite eagle? I wouldn't have thought that. I wouldn't have guessed he was talking about the band. But yeah, they have a lot to learn about each other. And I think it'll be nice this season for them to do that. Hopefully Jimmy Steve won't stop them. Oh my god. Well, we see Angie come back to the diner, and Fiona's still like on her marriage high, like she's got a real ring now, flashing it here at the restaurant. And we see Angie like, oh my god, like she got married, because we figured out, and thanks to a lot of our viewers, they said that Angie's asking questions to Fiona for Jimmy Steve.
Right.
And, you know, when she finds out that Fiona got married, she's probably thinking like, oh, shit, I gotta tell him.
Yeah. And this time I actually noticed, I thought she did look out the window too. So I got the feeling this time that he was out in the car, you know, watching there, this. Because she kind of was like, her face dropped with that ring. And then I felt
like he is not gonna like this news.
Yeah, like, oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, but
and he like didn't. He's waited too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked her. I liked the way that their conversation flowed. How she's like, I was in Tokyo. I work in jewelry, and looks like you don't have a shortage of that. Yeah. She's very smooth. I'd want her to come back and tip me $100 every time. But I like her character a lot. I think hopefully she'll play a bigger role as the season goes on. But
I think she's gonna.
You think
kind
she's
of dissolve
done-zo?
Out? As, yeah, now that I think back. She was the. You know,
the connection.
Yeah, exactly. And then
that makes sense.
And once he comes back, we can already see, you know, in the scenes for next week that things are already dramatic again and confusing. And
yeah, I just want to know how Jimmy Steve is connected to Angie, or like who she is to him, and like maybe she could help us figure out and learn what he's been doing this whole time,
right? Or maybe he was just paying her.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Steve.
Yep.
I can't believe he's back, you guys. It was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time. Oh, man.
My notes. I know you guys can't see this, but I wrote Jimmy Steve as big as I possibly could. I was like, yeah!
It's so crazy.
I thought they were going to make us wait a little bit longer, so I was so happy. I was like, yes!
Yeah. I'm really happy, too. It's about time. We need some craziness. I mean, Fiona's trying to live a normal life, but, you know, it's only a matter of time before things get shaken up. Poor girl. poor girl. But we see Gus, like, really trying to be there for her. She wasn't home when she was going to make the announcement to her family that she was married, because she still hadn't told them yet. But then we find out that her coworker, Jackie, who was supposed to get her daughter back from foster care, she was clean for 6 months. She was on heroin. She's been clean, so she was in the process of getting her daughter back, but she, you know, went home, shot up, and OD'd, and turns out she's really not going to get her kid back. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Jackie didn't die, but I liked how Gus wasn't upset at Fiona for, instead of telling her family, you know, going to tend to Jackie and making sure she was okay.
I like how this gave us more of Sean, too.
Oh, yeah.
I felt kind of last episode I didn't really like all of a sudden he was just kind of in the back burner. I thought, well, that was weird. Yeah, but it was like it just kind of was just such a quick turn from them having this attraction. And so I liked that it was those two at the hospital. And I like seeing that moment where we find out more about him and find out that it was his son that found him on the floor when he was five in his own vomit. And like I thought it was a good way for those two characters to, like, to bring that back a little bit more. And,
yeah,
and
I then, agree.
You know, and the look in Fiona's eyes when he did ask her what his middle name was and stuff, and you know, she had that, like, she can't BS him.
No,
you know so it was just a very real moment where she was scared watching her friend, you know, being there, you know, still having this weird kind of connection with him, and then scared about what she is doing with Gus and knowing that this guy is, you know, that he might be right, that she likes to do these chaotic weird things.
Yeah, I was gonna say his backstory today really put more weight on his lash out to Fiona a while back about how he's like, I love chaos. Like, I love these things about crazy girls and about crazy things people do. Like, it turns him on and it leads him down a path, a dangerous path that, you know, he doesn't want his son to see it, him in again. So it was good to see him open up to Fiona that way and to see more of their dynamic. They know each other well. He seems to really know Fiona too. And so,
yeah, and I think make Fiona look too that, like, yeah, she's not doing, you know, heroin or drugs, but she's also just married somebody that she's not telling her family about and hiding and doing radical things because she still always likes to do things like that.
Yeah. I'm glad she has someone as level-headed as Sean to sort of turn to and be a good friend, because V's not really available at the moment. It's nice to have Sean in the picture.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I mean, anything else you guys want to add about Jimmy Steve? I mean, it's a huge... He was only on screen.
I think he'll be our predictions.
Exactly. Right? Uh-huh. He will be our predictions.
I predict that she cheats on Gus.
Oh,
can we predict his bare buns right away returning again sometime soon?
They're still in the opening credits. But before we move on to predictions, JJ, you said you had some news and gossip.
You were talking about articles earlier. There was another great article in the Hollywood Reporter with Emmy, and she was talking about, which I didn't realize about her, she was saying how the storyline with Gus kind of is true to her own life, that how she was quickly married to I forget his first name, but Siegel, and then that nobody knew that they were even married until they split. And so I thought that was interesting how she's, you know, art's imitating life right now for her, and how she can draw from that.
That's true. She was married very young for a short while. I think he was a producer, definitely in the film industry.
Yes, I believe so.
I could be wrong, but yeah, that's so true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a cool connection.
But yeah, they weren't married very long, and it's just said that he requested spousal support during the divorce too. So I have a feeling it wasn't like the most
amicable
of things. If someone's going to do something, but I just thought that was interesting. They also a little spoiler in that article. She had mentioned that Sean's kid will like resurface too.
Oh, cool. We'll see if that's true or not. And she was live tweeting during the last episode, I believe. Mm-hmm. I didn't read any of that stuff. This episode, too?
Yeah.
I'm sure she's got some good stuff to say, so check out her Twitter, at Emmy Rossum.
It's cool to see their thoughts.
Yeah.
As the show goes on.
I think so, too. Definitely. They give us a little more insight onto what happened during those scenes.
For sure.
All right, let's move on to predictions. We got some good ones, I think.
Okay.
We got the lights first.
Dum dum dum.
We'll do our own sounds. I had one while we were talking, and I didn't write it down, and I knew I was going to forget.
Those spooky prediction sounds didn't pop up, but...
That's okay.
We can continue. JJ, go on. What do you have?
No, you got to go first.
Okay.
I had one, and then I forgot.
I kind of already said mine. Jimmy Steve's going to screw everything up, hopefully.
We need it.
Well, you can already see in the scenes for next week that he's kissing on her neck and saying things in her ear, and, you know, she's... That first love, it just doesn't go away, right? Yeah. So we'll...
With someone who kind of lent himself to her chaotic lifestyle, or maybe gave her that chaotic lifestyle that she likes so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
I think it's definitely going to spice things up for Fiona, too. Jimmy Steve's going to fight for Fiona and Gus is going to fight for Fiona. So there's going to be this sort of weird like love triangle. And I don't think Gus is going to let her go that easy, despite the fact that he said this episode that, you know, if it was a mistake, so be it. But I think, you know, once he sees Jimmy come along and act the way he does around Fiona, Gus is going to step in and fight for her. Perhaps it'll get physical. Perhaps someone will die. I don't know. I hope that doesn't
happen. Big prediction.
And I also think, you know, Debs was telling Sammy to sort of just accept Frank's, you know, shenanigans and the way he treats her. I don't think Sammy's going to accept it. I think she's going to cause terror and be a huge terror in his life and hurt him and stuff. But definitely not make his life easy. At least not as easy as it is now, which isn't very easy, but harder.
All right, I'm agreeing with you ladies. I can't remember the one that I thought at all. Think of it on the way home. But I also do think, I think Debs is going to get to have a little, a boyfriend with her boxer boy.
Yay, cool.
Yeah,
I think so too.
They seem age appropriate, and I think...
And they will have consensual sex.
Yeah.
She won't rape him.
Nope. No, she won't. I think it'll be good for her too. Mm-hmm. All right, awesome. Nothing else you guys want to add?
No, good show.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for our after show for Shameless, episode 5. Catch us next week on AfterBuzz TV here on YouTube. Again, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel so that, you know, you can get updates every single week. We have other great after shows on this channel as well. Also follow AfterBuzz on SoundCloud, Twitter, all that good stuff. We got iTunes. All the social media covered. And then in the meantime, you guys can talk to us as well. JJ, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me at JJ Juergens on Twitter, Juergens JJ on Instagram, and I have a blog at tomgirl.tv.
And then you can find me on Twitter at Haley Clover and also on Instagram at Haley Clover.
Cool. And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JAJOURI and on the Walking Dead After shows on Sunday nights and Gotham on Monday nights and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it comes back.
Good for you.
Every night.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a good night.
Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.